The Beyond Good Show. Hello, and welcome to today's Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo. Today is January 14th, and we are so grateful for all of your attendance and the presence of yourselves to share this hour with us today. And I hope everyone's had a wonderful last 2 weeks for this new year. And also, I'd like to today go over some various topics as they come up, perhaps. And I also encourage anyone that would like to send in any inquiries or questions or topics that would like to be discussed, or call in any time, of course. That's always welcomed. I'm open to anything that the audience would like to have introspection with or discuss. And basically, it's an open forum, so all is welcome. And so, one of the main aspects continuing into the new year, 2023, is the emergence of our new selves and the emergence of our soul, our physical body, our spiritual body. And that's conducive and relative to understanding what is beyond Earth and what else is truly out there, the unknowns that are extremely prevalent, and the mysteries, and that ignites that curiosity within all of us at times. And of course, when we have the tangible versus the intangible, then there's much to correlate with that, in addition to the facts that are the sum of the evidence that is prevalent with when there's such tangibility. So, to enhance oneself, to see the unknown and let it be more tangible to the self, yourself, even if it's not tangible to everyone else, that is of a great significance. And it's imperative for the soul development, because if there is this intrigue in any potential realm or variability that is perhaps at varying degrees for each individual. Every individual, there's a respective degree in which one has processed and one has assimilated themselves into, and what one would essentially like to increase with their knowledge of what is beyond this realm and this earthly realm, and also to connect with the intergalactic and the interstellar and transcend this third dimension and transcend the fifth dimension and so forth. And so that's something that I would like to delve into a little bit today, if I may. And a process of our, let's say, the blueprint of ourself, our developmental path of our essential universal human self. And there's patterns here that I may go back and forth between certain dogmatic principles, dharmic principles, karmic principles, theological interpretations, and so forth. But this show is for everyone of any background, of any interest. I have my own belief system, which I've, you know, spoken of much, but this is for all of you out there, and it's for whatever is respective to the self. So take with this whatever applies to you and assimilate with that. However, going forward, and as I was mentioning with the blueprint of the developmental path of the universal human self, in which we have patterns of our own emergence, and everyone will know what emergence means, but just to clarify before I proceed, is emergence is to define and to come into being or to evolve and process into that next state of being or awareness. And you can add anything to that, but that's essentially what emergence is referred to and the definition of that. And so if we look upon ourselves with certain unitive experiences, our personal emergence of ourself, and perhaps we can see it also as a portal a way of our conscious self-evolution, or even in a way of our sovereign self, our sovereign person, in which there's always this cosmic notion that's intermixed with us, because we are essentially, yes, if one wants to ascribe that, you know, we are created by God, which I believe, and we are here for multitude of divine purposes. But if one wants to go from the biomolecular spectrum and just stay with that and not apply anything else, that's fine also. However, what I'm speaking of is that we are literally this mass emanation of this convergence that's aligned with this emergence of ourselves that is awaiting to be launched and awaiting to be set forth and to renew and revitalize each and every one of us and all the creatures of the planet to align itself with the emergence of the planet itself and the soul of the planet itself and the other galactic kingdoms that are our neighbors and those that we're aware of and those that we are not aware of and those that are aware of to the individuals that are in that conscious state of complete, let's say, direct communication. There are many of you out there that have a beautiful streamlined direct communication with interstellar beings and beautiful star seeds, and much of you that are taking interest in certain topics that we're discussing here on this Beyond Earth show truly may have a previous incarnation as a Palladian, Atlantean, Arcturian, Lyrian, and Sirian, and so forth, and anything else as far as in the human condition, and that's for another time, and I can also elaborate on that another time, and I don't want to tangent out, as I can easily tangent out into those, because there's so much to discuss. However, back to our emergence of our self, and essentially that way of that conscious spectrum and the self-evolution, it begins and we transcend the limitations of this third dimension. And yes, we can be grounded in many ways with responsibility and with self-care and with the proper order of direction. And that's very imperative when anyone wants to start any sort of deeper introspection to make sure that they feel safe within any realm, say physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and that they actually give it a very good, honest effort on their behalf in order to not become easily discouraged or dissuaded from after a first attempt of gaining some further insight. And if one is not able to see anything else that is external of the self, then give themselves time, because these are processes that are basically emanations that we seek for the metamorphosis of ourselves and to continually progress, 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 progress. And some things take time, of course. So essentially, while our planet is shifting and our consciousness is shifting and the greater collective consciousness is shifting, perpetually shifting, there are many of you that are going through your own personal ascensions. Many of you may not be aware that you're going through an ascension, and there are so many different symptoms and characteristics of ascensions and patterns, but I'll just kind of give off a few because everyone has a different set of data that is personal to them, that some can be relatable, some might be completely different. So you could see a totally differentiation between with your discernment with wisdom, and you can see things with even more of a clear spectrum of social bases, how your interests are being piqued. And if you're suddenly delving away from some other, maybe what seems petty now and what might seem not as important to you now, and other things are transferring into a greater deal of importance for the self. So let's say that there's this pattern in which one was affected by prior. I'm just going to stick with something very simple and minute, that there was a pet peeve that was not causing damage or harm or illness or any spiritual damage to anybody, but it was literally just something that seemed very petty now in retrospection. But at the time, it was maybe, let's say, it's a test of patience, and that their outcome was favorable, but it was just the process of that. Well, when one goes through an attunement, and I'll delve into that, of course, with this, I'm giving this example though, but if one goes through that, their patience, and again, this is just one example, their patience is being tested prior, even for something so simple, but perhaps now they're going through this that's maybe been vacillating back and forth for a little while to get to this place where now their patience is in practice with mindfulness, and their patience has become extraordinarily stronger, into which now they've actually been able to transmute through the alchemical process, the energetic process, and with the manifestation principles, and to apply that to where now that 30 minutes of waiting on hold, which no one really likes, correct, now seems like it was merely 5 minutes, or perhaps someone was pushed through and picked up the line and said, how can I help you, without being dropped on the call, right? And so there's this energy that's biochemical that is relatable with the energetic spectrum of that ascension process, in which that person is in this conscious state of literally evolution based, spiritually evolution based, and cosmically evolution based, and transcending all of the matters that are of this, let's say, third dimension in this world, in which it's a beautiful world, yet there are things that are of the mundane, things that we have to do, things that we are responsible for, yet those things, if we cover those bases, then it creates a clear pathway for everything else thereafter. So the other symptom that could happen with some people, where they can recognize that, my goodness, my strengths are being completely illuminated, my strengths are being invigorated and increased. And strengths can be also relatable to, of course, patience, or also mental stamina, mental focus, and also applying those degrees of concentration with a higher sense. And then you take that and you correlate that to another subset of that, the topics. Perhaps somebody was interested in just reading about, well, gardening is important, but, and I'm not saying anything is not important or important, but maybe they were obsessed with gardening, or working on mechanics. Those are all important things. But now, in addition to that, they suddenly have this intrigue into the otherworldly emanations and crystals and spiritual networks of any sort, of anything that is philosophical, anything that is theosophical, religious-based, and anything that is beyond that, the form of thought, and getting closer to God, getting closer to your angels, getting closer to your guardians of the earth, getting close to your higher self, anything that may conform to that for the individual self. And also to, besides, in addition to those, there could be physical circumstances in which someone might feel a little tired, or more tired on some days and a little more energetic on other days, or their tastes change. Maybe they're previously carnivorous, which is fine, or now they want to try to be vegetarian, which is fine also. I'm just giving examples. But there's a difference there as well. And some people do go through where they clean the slate. There are friends that no longer serve them, or family members or colleagues. And even if they're not completely, maybe some people do clean up house and get rid of everyone, or wherever they can, or go through the steps of that, whoever's not serving them, and thereby reciprocal serving each other at the time, doesn't mean that those people are bad. It just means that there's a timeline with that emergence, with the self, in conjunction with ascension, in which there are karmic patterns, soul contracts, and varying degrees of interest. And so perhaps there, for little girls, let me give an example. If a little girl is just always playing with Barbie dolls and Shira dolls, and one day she's like 35 now and she no longer wants to play with Barbie dolls, well, that's an evolutionary pattern of growth and transformation. Yet if you take that and you correlate that with friends that are of a certain mindset, and they're not transcending that mindset, which is fine. That's totally normal. Everyone has their free will, of course. But if one finds themselves where they're a man or a woman, no matter what age, and suddenly they have these nice friends, this group of friends, or friends that are not nice and taking advantage, and there are disadvantages to the person that we're speaking of as the example, and suddenly they wake up and they're applying discernment with wisdom, and they speak of, my goodness, I no longer have to be controlled by this particular friend, or I don't have to be surrounded with their negative energy. Oh, you know, I'm really realizing things. And this could take years at times. So essentially, that's where the pattern is very conducive to the self, because once one does release those energies while they're in an ascension process, they realize that there's so much more to the world than what has been in their prior limited compass, so to speak, their mini ecosystem of a social structure. And then all of a sudden they have really nice, amazing reciprocal friends or colleagues come in, different things start to advance and change and shift, and any kind of physical proportions or any sort of disadvantages at the time that are affecting one in the physiological state and the spiritual state, suddenly there's a newfound renewal, regeneration, and that's also in alignment with the soul emergence principles. And so, and then if there are people that just feel as if these sets of friends, I'll love them forever. They've never done wrong by me, but they just want to do X, Y, and Z. They want to just, let me just say, play with Barbies and monster Tonka trunks for the guys and for the girls, right? But I want to go interstellar. I want to go with Christ consciousness. I want to go with Buddha consciousness. I want to go to starseed transmission. I want to explore the great ethers. I want to come from the ethos of my origin, the destiny. I want to feel a different sense. I want to see the world. I want to live in the world from a different observational pattern and perspective. And of course, that's a beautiful thing. That's just that someone is having their own metamorphosis. And if they're nice friends or nice family, that was never any sort of proposed disadvantageous kind of mindset that was affecting the person, then perhaps those people will align if they want to, their free will, of course. So essentially, that's partly what I'd like to cover, in addition to what I'm going to speak of next, is that when we can take those notions and the principles of the varying aspects of ascension that can happen at any time in our lives, and it's a spiritual growth, and in alignment with that soul emergence principle, when we have the greater evolution of ourselves, it's in alignment with the real true goal of overall humanity. And that's in proportion to how we personally, individually, and collectively succeed, and to the degree of which one carries this evolution personally, because this is a truly great responsibility, in which this is why soul growth and interstellar growth is not always the easiest to step into. If it was, we'd all be on this 11 dimension mindset, and we wouldn't even be here on planet Earth if it was in that relativity. So essentially, when we carry this evolution into the new set of ourself, in conjunction our soul emergence, and we actually confront our unrealized potentiality. And when we represent ourselves and we actually walk forth and upon the earth and we seek the stars, we seek God, we seek Christ consciousness, we seek the Holy Spirit, we seek the archangels, the seraphims, we seek the star seeds, we seek the galactic kingdom, we seek the guardian of all that is of Mother Nature. And like I said before, anyone's beliefs, this is all respective to everyone and anyone out there. So take from that whatever is respective to you, with all due love and respect from myself. However, proceeding forth with that, when one actually recognizes the potential and those previous unrealized potentials, and they step into the possibilities of the future self. And that's in the present moment, in this present moment, and then we have our future self. So by that, in conjunction, we discover the ineffable that is literally in the individual of that direct pathway. And that is which the path that we find the communion of our own soul. And so there are many, many aspects of the ultimate covenant in which we all seek that we are here for a certain time and we are eternal, yet we are here for a certain set time within the timelines of this particular lifetime on earth. So there are timelines in which we all have. And so in accordance with those timelines, and if we even apply like the Buddhist sense of the sati in the mind, in which we truly go through recollection and then we're in love with those recollections. And if we work with the Holy Spirit and the all-knowing of that threefold flame of the Holy Spirit, and so if we work with our higher self, and that is what you commune with your higher self, and you work through and you do the integration process. If you work with archangels, if you work with the star seeds, however that applies, and if you want to work with all of them, wonderful. The more the merrier. God's created all of them, but that's also respective to the self. So when we look at the disaffections truly with large institutions in this modern day life that try to dissuade or to basically minimize certain potential realities that we feel attuned with in our innate self. And like I said before, everyone's different. Some people have not really been able to express what they've seen out of fear, out of being minimized, out of perhaps this weaponized guilt used against them for perhaps they've seen angels, they've seen their deceased loved ones and animals as well, and or they've experienced transmissions from the other side in the beautiful galactic kingdom realm and the angelic realm. They've seen beautiful visions. They've experienced welcomed, let's say, visitations from the ETs, anything and everything that is possible for one. And some of these things could be disconcerting in the notion of the fear, because anytime that we process anything that is unknown to our previous self up until that moment, it can ignite a sense of fear. And then once we actually condition to the notion that, wow, we're still here, we're survived, we've seen that, we witnessed it, that was actually frightening. But once I moved through it, once that I worked through that and I realized that there's no harm done unto me, that, my goodness, that was such a supernatural experience. That was such a beautiful, effervescent array of auric field glowing love and light. And my goodness, that was just, I can't believe I had that amazing opportunity. I want to see it again. And some others, of course, might be very different where, you know, it was so frightening because they may have had a very frightening experience to themselves. But we also want to look at, where does the frightening come from? Where does that frightening response, that fright response, come from? And so that can be varying to the individual dependent upon what they've seen. Yet when we are told that that doesn't exist, there's no such thing as that, then of course that's going to exacerbate that response system within the self of feeling fear. And fear is a dynamic that we all have. It's part of our survival system. If we do not have any fear, then where is the motivation to survive? If everything is extremely lackadaisical and we're in this process of literally just, which is beautiful to think of, if we could all just be in this conscientious state of, okay, I'm going to just fly through like a butterfly and a unicorn, a pegasus. I'm going to swim like a mermaid. I'm going to do anything and there's no fear, there's no fear. Well, then it makes room for other processes of the conscious state to delve into and project forth into and to look for in that motivation of, okay, what do we do next? Yet fear is a proponent that We literally can get annihilated by our fear with anxiety and the subsets of everything that is entangled with the notion of fear. But our brains are wired to detect fear in order to protect ourselves. So however we're wired in that proportion to the degree of the fear to save ourselves, to rescue ourselves, and then the fear of the potential that is incoming, then that's when we can utilize whatever we can in certain ways to utilize that form and function to transfer that into being proactive to help to mitigate those fears that we can control. Then there's other fears, of course, that are in a different resistance category, of course. However, with meditation, prayer, prayerful affirmation, yogic exercise, tantric exercise, any sort of reconditioning and conscious reconditioning of the mind in which we can control. The Buddhists speak of the monkey mind and the beginner's mind. And so when we clear our mind, there's an element there that we help ourselves to transform through that. If you're an athlete and you're having a vision of how you're going to win that kumite, you're going to win that sparring tournament, you're going to win the fencing championship, you're going to win the boxing match, you're going to win your diving meet, you're going to win your gymnastics tournament as well. However, you envision yourself, but you transmute through the fear that takes over the mind. And when God would, you know, we pray to God, we clear and we ask for no fear, correct? And so if we're in a different alignment with a pattern that we'd like to transform that fear, and we pray, we meditate, whatever directive one wants to take with that, that's up to them. And that's when you persevere. And perseverance is a huge pattern of the soul emergence, because when you actually apply recognizing the fear given the circumstance and being aware of the origin of that and how to combat that fear and to recognize that that fear is partly part of survival, proactiveness, and motivation, and you transcend that and you apply that with the courage and with the victory that comes from the courage as well. Because no one ever really regrets being a hero, right? I mean, there's many things in relation to that. But when you're your own hero in yourself, where you say, I actually did this today and I really transcended a fear. Well, that exposure therapy, so to speak, you confronting that, you confronting whatever it might be within safe reasons, of course, in the physical sense, and also emotional sense, one minute moment at a time. One is essentially consciously reconditioning themselves via through the exposure therapy that equates to the actual sum of that, wow, that felt really good. And the dopamine, the serotonin response system kicks in, and then it opens up more doorways. It opens up more of the doorways into the euphoria of, I can transcend to the next level. And I can resist that pre-subset of fear. I've actually overcame that. I've now dove gracefully off of the 10-meter platform, and I was safe. I survived. I'm going to go back up there and dive again and learn another dive. And wow, okay, great. And that's part of the evolution of our conscious self and our spiritual self that equals and fine-tunes everyone's mindset into what is tangible versus intangible, into the spectrum of the intergalactic, interstellar realms, into the Christ consciousness, into the Buddhist consciousness, into the higher self consciousness, into the soul star, into any and all of the lovely avatars of God, of the Holy Spirit, of our holy universe. And so essentially, I'll just mention this at this time. There is the holy flow incarnation that applies to this world and to this entire galactic kingdom and the multiverses. And so when we are attuning ourselves and propagating the peace for ourselves and all becoming these lions, so to speak, that are victorious, courageous, and beautiful, and just happy to just emanate this courage with love, and the duality of that divine spectrum, and applying that forth into our daily existence. And when one fine tunes their mind and their spirit body, their physiological state, their spiritual state, their astral state, then you're furthering attuning yourself to having more intense visions. And also this applies with anyone who wants to literally, I would say, further practice with their naturally born gifts. Every single person has a naturally innate born gift. Some people do not know that they have it. Some people don't want it. Some people totally try to defy it because they don't know what to do with it, or that it actually scares them, or they've never been able to talk with it openly, and which I refer back to what I previously stated about some people have a fear because maybe they'll be shamed into a certain submission of quietness and censor themselves from expressing that they have a gift to share with the world. And those of you that really want to really, really emphasize and focus on culminating and cultivating your gift and honing more of your gifts. And there are numerous gifts that all of us can have, and many people can have more than one gift. And our ancient selves were so gifted. We were able to do above and beyond anything we could think of. But our present selves now, with the ancient memories from before, there's a part of us that, yes, some of us, most of us have had a purposeful amnesia, so to speak. The veil has been literally applied almost as if an iron curtain, so we can renew and reset a new value system for ourselves to relearn. And then if we tap into, through conscious reconditioning, prayer, prayerful affirmations and meditations, yogic and tantric and anything else, chanting and anything that's respective to the person, then that does actually help to minimize that iron curtain and to actually slowly but surely remove that veil in a safe realm, as long as there's respect and responsibility applied with that, because that's the biggest important thing. When one is in a very moral and ethic compass of utilizing the gift with responsibility, because God does give us what we can handle. So if you really want to tone down what your visions are, well, then work through that in a way that you're comfortable with, because maybe if it feels too much for you, but there's a reason that you're receiving it, and there's a reason that you are a chosen individual to receive such of those gifts, to which many have said it can be a kryptonite, like a blessing and a curse at the same time, right? But in essence, though, this is when you can take from that, take from those gifts, and just try to sit with it, utilize the goodness of it, break down the negative aspects that are negative to you, and for that respective purpose. And then for those that are seemingly intrigued by and they want to develop their muscles, so to speak, their spiritual muscles, the first thing to do is that to really work on your connection with God, your connection with Creator, your connection with the divine, your connection with the cosmic entities of the greater overall being, Mother Gaia, whatever you want to do. But I work with the Holy Spirit. That's my lifelong, and that's my own. But everyone else, or anyone else, they want to do a different pattern for themselves, then by all means, anything that is a positive love and light and non-judgment is the way, because we have our way. And just because we have our way doesn't mean that it is the only way. So, and that is actually one of the true teachings, but I don't want to digress there. But when we actually go through the covenant, the ultimate covenant of ourselves, and we apply these principles, and we're really relishing in our soul's emergence, and we go through and we recollect, we go through a process of elimination, we go through a actual what's uniquely appropriate to the self, right? And so when we're betrothed essentially to the world, and I guess that, you know, it, some can extend that with being betrothed to the world that we're limited, but essentially when we're betrothed to the world, what we can utilize and maximize. So if we convey a holistic sense of perspective and or understanding of life, in a sense, if we entail a theological, philosophical, religious proportions, anything that is of Christ's mind but not religious, which is fine also, all of that, that's in conjunction with the patterns of the self. And so when also one entails perhaps, let's even say, ecological, and emphasizing in that total essence of community, of life, life existing with nature, and truly, let's say, the oneness of our existing human race at this present time. We have our human race, we have our beautiful creatures that live on this world that we share with them, that we should respect and love and do everything we can to preserve them, because if they don't exist, like Albert Einstein said, if, you know, the bumblebees don't exist, we don't exist. If the great white sharks and all the sharks in the ocean die, then we don't exist either. They are the bumblebees of the ocean, just like the bumblebees are the sharks of the earth. We need them as pollinators. We need the sharks to keep the oceans clean. They have never had cancer. That is the one creature that's like a dinosaur. There's so much to learn from them and respect them. And I could go on and on about all the animals and all the creatures in the kingdom very passionately, but I'm just going to go into this. So when we have a partnership with our human race, with the creature race, the ecological system, the ecological presence, the ecosystem of our planet, and we are respectful to one another, and we're respectful to the animal kingdom, the creatures, all of the creatures, and with due respect, and we just enter into the world, proceed with love and the emanation of love. And you'll see people that, and I'm not trying to encourage someone, yes, go be a beekeeper without training. You know, I'm not encouraging someone to go dive into the ocean, some of the great white sharks. You know, there are people that are trained and they have a different energy set. If you look at any particular person like Jacques Cousteau, Mary Ellen Clark, you know, who are no longer, but Ocean Ramsey, who's a present day individual who I love, she's, you know, these people have a certain energy to them, and the beekeepers and the animal whisperers. And so I'm speaking with that because there's such a spiritual communion and in that covenant of that ultimacy of that divine correlation between the brotherhood, the sisterhood, and every single creature is our brother and sister, just like the ETs. They look upon us, and this is why I'm bringing this up, because this is connecting to the intergalactic kingdom, the interstellar beings that observe us, that want to help us. And so I'm going to bookmark that in my brain. So essentially, when you see these particular individuals that, of course, you know, they've had extensive training and studies, and they are, let's say, they're extremely mindful and extremely conscientious of what they're doing. And this is not just for anyone to just go out there and try to do what they're doing, but I'm just giving an example. There is an energetic calmness. There's an energetic calmness that's extending into that great supernatural power of love and that inner humanity within the self that is in such a great correlation with our ancient selves. And in the spectrum that's aligned with that divinity, with it, all of us, that lies and lives within all of us, and we all are working to improve and keep progressing and increasing that divine supernatural love that should reside within all of us to actually coexist in this world. And so when we are in that operating function and we observe the patterns and what is different about a certain person than another, and there could be karmic, there could be dharmic, there could be all these other divine principles that are let's see, coexisting with that, and some things can intercede, and the third dimension can always have a moment in which occurrences just happen to happen, because we are with a free will. We are in a free world planet, and where it is a free will, but in that sense, there's the free world, but we don't government, and that's a whole different topic, but the free will of ourselves, and free will can work to our advantage and also to our disadvantages. And so that's why we have crime and injustices and unfortunate circumstances that happen. But we also have great observation, and we also have great elements that come from that free will. When others do kindness and others are in that benevolent mindset and in that generosity spectrum of helping others to feel better and to proceed, and that they're worthy, and literally minimizing the unworthy pattern and assimilating into a worthy mindset and purpose, the great purpose. And so we see more acts of kindness as we actually look further and observe further in. And so I'm going to go back into what I was speaking of with the observations of the intergalactic kingdom and the interdimensional beings and the ETs that observe us and that really love this planet. And they see that there are many that are truly wanting to connect, and God sees it all. Yet there's always these categories of individuals that really want to attune and enlighten themselves more. And that's actually increasing more and more and more on a collective conscious stream. And so the more the merrier, essentially. So it's like a mirror. It's like a hallway of mirrors, and it just illuminates. So when we send love out, the love comes right back. And so there's a reflective quality that exists when we send the love, the kindness, the prayers, the prayerful affirmations, the affirmations, the mantras, the singing, the chanting. When we do any form that illuminates the self and the highest good for the overall benefit of the world, the self, that is when we extend into actually the self-realization and to self-actualize, because we are propagating. We are in the attempt, and then we are also in the emphasis and the effort that transcends from the initial attempt. Thereby, when we're actually performing and we're in the presence, and we're in the presence of ourselves, in the present self, into the future self. And so when there is a sense of that perspective, when you do convey that understanding of life, and when one entails and applies on all of these spectrums, and we have biochemical responses, you know, our molecules do have emotions. And I can speak about that on another show, however, but when we are in that placement of the value of our development and our spiritual development, and declaring that of our selfhood, and when it's appropriate within the function of all of the social aspects and the spiritual and also the psycho-spiritual with the psychosocial aspects, and you combine that all together, that is the helm of fostering the human development, which thereby creates us to be more, much more so, of an invitation to the divine visiting us, and to having more of those visions and having more of those interactions with the ultimate divine, with God, with Jesus, with Mother Mary, with Kuan Yin, with Buddha, with Lakshmi, with the ancient Arcturians, the beautiful divine Atlanteans, the cosmic principles of this world and above and beyond, and those amazing angelic beings that watch over us, anything and everything. If that's something that one is interested in tuning towards and developing more and fostering that, and also if one is peaking with perhaps their clairvoyant senses are increasing. You know, we have the grand solar minimum. Our biosphere is weakening. There are many things occurring that people do not, well, there are people who are wonderful that speak of it, but it is not, let's say, in legacy commonplace media. So many people, if you mention certain things about our magnetosphere and our biosphere and certain processes of our sun, and you know, we actually had such a beautiful comet recently, a couple days ago, wherever the audience is throughout the world. But it actually was in the northern hemisphere, this beautiful green comet that is perhaps billions of years old and the origins are unknown. Yet we were actually able to see with the naked eye this particular time frame. And, you know, it was at the perihelion, and the perihelion is literally where the what's closest to the sun. So that's where people could see that. And if you had to have really like almost perfect atmospheric conditions as far as dark sky, the contrast, and it's just magnificent. So you know, it's in this lifetime to see emanations like that that are true and that are legitimately true, that are not fictitiously created to create an illusion to us and then defy the truth in those that have experienced the truth and so forth. So that's another topic and never another time. Yet when we have this emergence as well, and perhaps I can continue this on the next show or whatever else comes up, or if somebody wants to write in and suggest a topic they'd like me to discuss. But in fact, when we actually do look at the new definition of our evolution, and that is literally, I would say, new definition of the self, the emergence of you as a new person, a renewed person. And that's part of the growth with the planet and the conscious stream of all that is imperative. Because when one feels like a new person, you'll hear someone say, "I feel like a new person. I feel brand new." Well, perhaps there's also this holonomic nature of the universe in itself too, that's applying with that. And so when there's this intrinsic to the holonomic nature of the self, there is that, I would say, non-locality in which the person you knew before, which is you, you're still here, but the person you knew before feels like, my goodness, I don't even recognize who I was before, in a good way. And then you realize that your new self-creation, your new person self, in the manifested form. And when you apply the primal directive, and that's inclusive of all amazing phenomena, such as what I was speaking of, I'm going to bring that back, clairvoyant abilities, clairaudient, clairsentient, mediumship, visionary abilities, which is all inclusive of that, yes, but there's different degrees. Everyone has different layers and levels of things where some people are really amazing at remote viewing, and that's incredible, but then they're not able to predict the tsunamis. But some people can really, really predict a tsunami, but not be able to see what's inside of their friend's closet, two states away in a closet they've never been in. Yeah, that's a whole other thing, but I'm just giving an idea. But essentially, then you also have the visionary dreams and the emergence process. And truly, when you feel this state of your essential self and you continue with perseverance and you nurture your own emergence process through literally allowing the patterns to come forth, that's one big thing. There's going to be patterns that one may see around themselves, within themselves, and that can also be with synchronicities, of course, and there's so much to discuss with this. I just wanted to give a proper introduction to this because that's how I like to inform people. So I may have to continue this on another show. Yet when you allow yourself to exist and to receive the patterns, and then you allow the repatterning to exist, that's all part of the soul's emergence. And then another aspect is within self-presencing, where you're attuned with the present self, you're attuned with your present self, you're attuned with the presence of others after that. And so in order to be very mindful of others and the animals and the ETs and the angelic realm and the galactic kingdom with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Buddha, Lakshmi, any and all above, okay, mindfulness has to be implemented for the self. And that goes along the lines with the self-presencing. And so when you are so aware of your self-presence, therefore, you will be even more aware of everything else. So therefore, there's such notions as, you know, see one, do one, teach one. That's basically that principle. So the next state would be, and this is how I refer to it, is like radiating the presence. And many of you may have heard that. There's such a, you know, Saint Germain, I am presence, and in the Bible, the I am presence, and so many beautiful dogmas and so forth and theosophical insights. But when we look at this, though, with radiating the presence, that's the illumination that is the at the helm of you, remaining what remains within you, what is existing within you, what is in that holy flow of the three centerings of the self. And when you actually go through that, you apply that you're truly and fully responsible and that you are taking action with that responsibility, and that's of a great, great purpose for the self. And that also extends into the cycles of inheritance, which I can also discuss at another time. But we have the dharmic flow, the Holy Ghost flow, the archetypal flow, and the soul flow. And these are all part of the holy flow centerings, and their main three centerings. Yet these are all part of the cycles of the inheritance, in which that I'll have to extend that into another show. Yet when you're radiating with the presence of the self, and then you are actually going into with utmost self-respect and respect for others, all creatures, and all principles, all forms of positive thought, you know, do no harm unto anyone, only help, discernment with wisdom, of course, apply that principle always. That means don't be taken advantage of. I always have to preface with that for everyone. But when you actually do realize that you have that responsibility and that you are responsible, and you apply that with the responsibility within the timings of your energetic self and the timeline that is nourishing that part of you now, and then you go into the place of cultivating with the resonance and attuning with others. And one could say, well, apply with empathy. And yes, and some people are born naturally empathetic. And then it's almost to a degree where it's so much where they physically are a sponge and they take it on. And that's understandable. But then there are those that really want to become more empathetic. And they can foster that with certain implementations of prayer, meditation, because by becoming clairvoyant and clairaudient, clairsentient and a medium, and to be able to do healing patterns and holistic healing of any sort, there's so many beautiful degrees of amazing work out there. All these light workers out there, all of you are just in doing a profound, beautiful job when the intention is correct. And those that want to do that, go for it. Just learn the way that is proportionate to what is defining within yourself, because the more, the merrier. So essentially just cultivating that resonance and attuning with others and your empathy, and that will increase your abilities in anything that you do. If you're a professor, if you're a teacher, if you're a dance instructor, if you don't have empathy, there's a place in which there's disagreeable versus agreeable that can be a bit of a contradiction at times, but empathy is so important. So essentially, I want to close off with, because we're at the end of our show, is that please remember to nourish the beloved self. To nourish the beloved self means to just love yourself, love and take care of everything that is within you. And therefore, anything that you want to achieve spiritually and achieving more visions, it all starts with nourishing the beloved self, and to just be kind to yourself and just be kind to others, of course, and that's common sense, but sometimes we all need to be reminded that just let yourself love yourself and just go into the world with the atmosphere of love and vision and make this world a better place. It's not too late. And thank you for all of you that have subscribed to the Beyond Earth Show. And we are so grateful for your presence again. And I will be back in 2 weeks from today. And I look forward to our next show. And once again, please feel free to email or call in and with any suggestions of topics you'd like me to cover. And I wish all of you a beautiful and divinely blessed and magical weekend. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Beyond Earth Show. Are we really alone?